What is up, Mets fans? Welcome to the Whole Lot of Mets podcast. My name's Mendy. You can find me on Twitter at Lot of Mets. I post my opinion about the recent Mets rumors, if the Mets sign anybody. It's just a good, fun page if y'all want to go and follow me real quick. In this podcast, I want to talk about the Marcell Ozuna rumors and possible Charlie Morton rumors. There's a lot going on, although no one is signing, but there's a lot going on, and I'll get into some signings that the Blue Jays and Braves have actually got into. All right, boys, let's roll. So, SNY went and put out a report, I think it was SNY, about how the Mets are interested now in Marcell Ozuna. In my eyes, he's clearly not a fit. Clearly not a fit. I don't think the interest is real. It is possible that they go and they called him up, and if he's cheap enough, of course you go and you bring a Marcell Ozuna type of player in. But I don't think it's real interest unless they go ahead and they trade Conforto. They go ahead and they trade an Imo in a Lindor trade or something. But it doesn't make sense to give Marcell Ozuna the contract that he's most probably going to get. He's coming off an MVP caliber year last year. He raked for the Braves, but once again, he was a DH. He's not a good left fielder. He's not a good center fielder. And he's an okay right fielder. He's not good with his glove. He's known for his bat. He had an MVP caliber season last year because of his bat. I like him. I think he's a good player, but I don't think the Mets are going to go out and try to sign him. But hey, guys, this is just a part of the Steve Cohen experience. There is not a rock that the Mets are not going to turn over to see if they can't get a good deal or somewhere. The days of the Wilpons, and if Marcus Stroman would have went and accepted the qualifying offer under the Wilpons, that would be our whole offseason. That's it. We'd be like, all right, we got Marcus back, and that's it. Over here, Marcus is only the beginning, guys. He's only the beginning, and I love that. I love that for us. I love that for Steve Cohen. I love that for Sandy Alderson. Look at happy Sandy Alderson is. Sandy Alderson is a much more happier, freer person than how he ever was under the Wilpons, which is great. But once again, we're going to hear the Mets checking on every single free agent, because what do you have to lose by making a 30-second phone call and say, oh, hey, Marcell, what's your price? 2 years, $30 million? Oh, I'm sorry. We're not going to do that. Oh, my God. Yes, what's the worst case scenario? You have the money to spend. If it's a two-year deal for $15 million, you jump on it, but that's not a realistic option. So who cares? You make the 2-second phone call and then you call it a day, which I love. I love. Going into, once again, I think the same thing. The Mets are interested in Tanaka, reports are. But once again, right, the Mets are going to be interested in everything and everyone, as they should be. But I don't see Tanaka as a fit. Unless, in my eyes, the only way we get Tanaka is if Trevor Bauer signs somewhere else. And that's not a world I want to live in. Because Tanaka is going to be too expensive to be a three. He's going to get around $15 to $19 million a year. He's too expensive to be just a number three starter. So the only way that you go ahead and you get Tanaka is if you make him your number two behind DeGrom. Because, man, that's so disappointing. Even talking about it is just bringing me down. The only way you get Tanaka is if you don't get Bauer, because you're going to need a caliber second starting pitcher. And that's what Tanaka is. He's no Trevor Bauer, but he's a decent second or third guy in your rotation. And man, it's depressing. But hey, you know, because I don't know if you guys listened to my last podcast, but I'm very confident that Trevor Bauer is going to be a Met. They're flirting nonstop. It's like they want the whole world to see. The only thing in my mind that's holding it back right now is the fact that the Mets don't have a GM. The Mets don't have a president of baseball operations. And they don't want it. And they don't want it to look like, oh, Sandy Alderson is going and making all these moves. Look, he just signed the biggest free agent on the market. There's no point of having a GM or a president of operations if Sandy is just going to take over. So I'm guessing that's what they're waiting for. I'm confident that he's going to be a Met, and that's why this Tanaka thing is kind of bringing me down a little. But in my eyes, Taiwan Walker, I'm not sure what he's going to get, because we just saw Drew Smyly get $11 million from the Braves. Tremendous overpay. That shocked me. At first, I thought $1 million, and I'm like, well, the Braves got a bargain. And I saw $11 million. I'm like, yo, the Braves messed up. Drew Smyly is an okay pitcher, but he's not in a 1 year $11 million pitcher in this year's economy. He's not. Hell, Braves, go ahead and spend your money on C-type players. Go ahead and pay them like a B-type player. Go ahead, please. Watch out in a year, right? You guys are going to come back to this, ha, 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 silly, stupid Mets fan. He has no clue what he's talking about. But hey, you know, if I have to eat crow, I'll eat crow. But that's not a good contract. Robbie Ray went to the Blue Jays at 1 year, $8 million. I'm shocked he got $8 million. I was expecting a 1 year, $4 million or 1 year, $5 million for Robbie Ray. He got a couple of million more. It's a decent signing for the Jays. Robbie Ray really turned it around when he got traded last year. He was terrible on the Diamondbacks. Diamondbacks basically got nothing for him. It was a low risk, high reward for the Jays, and they got a decent type of reward. So they're going and they're going to bring him back. So not a bad signing in my eyes. Not as bad as Drew Smyly for 1 year and $11 million. But the more I talk about Taijuan Walker, in my eyes, he's the most curious type of pitcher free agent that there is right now. He's coming off a stellar year last year with a 2.7 ERA in 15 games, I think. Stellar year, guys. Stellar. Like, I always saw of Taijuan Walker as like an okay pitcher, you know, because I didn't really pay attention to him in Seattle. He was supposed to be this big pitching prospect. He got hurt in 2019. He got Tommy John. He's a lifetime 3.74 ERA. Like, man, I really want the Mets to go after him. The more I talk about it, the more I fall in love with him. He was a top prospect. He has five pitches. He has a fastball. He has a cutter. He has a changeup. He has a curveball, and I think he has a splitter. Man, just if I could get him on a 2 year, $20 million deal, I go for it. But once again, I just saw Drew Smyly go ahead and get $11 million. So is Taijuan Walker gonna get 10 a year? I don't know. In my eyes, I would die to see how. Okay, take that back. I really want to see how other teams value Taijuan Walker because, man, in my eyes, he's the Alex Colome of starting pitchers. Solid, good as hell. Nobody talking about him. I really want to know what these two are gonna get. But he's on top of my. I'm a my Mets target behind Trevor Bauer. Before I was all in on Kluber, on Charlie Morton. But the more I watch Taijuan Walker, the more I look at his stats and the numbers, Taijuan Walker is a very solid pitcher. Another pitcher who I really want to see the type of contract that he's going to get is Corey Kluber. He was horrendous last year, and he was hurt the year before. How do teams value him? Because we know that he could be a Cy Young caliber pitcher. Hell, the Mets almost traded for him back in 2018 or 2019. I'm pretty sure it was 2018. But hey, what's he going to get after not being good the past two seasons and hurt? Is he going to get a two-year deal? I doubt it. Is he going to get... If I'm the Mets, I would give him a Michael Wacha type of deal. I was going to say Rick Porcello, but I don't think Kluber is going to get 1 year, $10 million after this type of deal, after this type of year for him. A 5 year ERA in Texas, which is not a hitter's ballpark. It's a pitcher's ballpark. It's very curious, but hey, Corey Kluber is the definition of low risk, high reward on a 1 year, $5 million deal in my eyes. I would go for it. Hell, make it an incentive-based deal. So if he reaches the innings hit and he's in the caliber for like an all-star game, make it 1 year and $7.5 million total. That's still a hell of an underpay if he turns out to be good. But if it doesn't, it's a nice contract that you have on your hands, which you're probably going to try to ship off and maybe a new start for him somewhere else if it doesn't work out here in New York. Another name is Jake Odorizzi. Yeah, I'm kind of high on him, kind of not. You know what you're going to get every single year from Jake. You're going to get a 4.5 ERA every year. You know, he keeps you in the ballgame. He's not going to be an all-star pitcher, but he's a very good, solid 4-5 pitcher. He's consistent. You know, he's a consistent average pitcher. And consistent players get paid because they're consistent. You could be consistently bad, but if you have a good glove, right, it's like, okay, fine. You know what? We're going to deal with your garbage ass bat, but if you could be a Ruben Tejada, let's say, right? Maybe for a team, it makes sense, you know? So as long as you're consistent, you're going to get paid. You're going to be in the game. Consistency is key, even in life, you know? Just be consistent with something and don't go ahead and be like, oh, blah, 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 and then totally switch topics. Talking about switching topics, yeah, I'm all over the place right now. I want Nolan Arenado on the team. I mean, I see Lindor, I see this, I see that. Lindor, I feel like you're going to have to give up a lot for Lindor. If it's the Beatty Nimmo Ahmed Rosario package that I floated out there, no sources or anything but my personal trade, I would do it in a heartbeat. But if we're talking about Mauricio or Alvarez or players like that, no thank you. No thank you. I'm sorry. I can't do it. I can't. I think you could get Nolan Arenado, and like I said on the other podcast, you could trade Robinson Cano in that package if you send along a bit of cash, give them Beatty, and give them, let's say, Brandon Nimmo. They need an outfielder, they need a second baseman, and you're getting a solid prospect back in return. And if you're the Mets, you're dumping Robinson Cano's contract, and you can finally free up second base for Jeff McNeil, which is his position. Like, there's no if ands, or but. Jeff McNeil is a really good second baseman. He's a good outfielder. He's a very good defensive second baseman based off of what he's done now, based off what he's done in the minors. Jeff McNeil is a very good second baseman. Hella slow. Baseball is hella slow. It's just a whole bunch of rumors how the Mets are interested in this and interested in that. I want to talk about Michael Hill. Michael Hill interviewed with Sandy Alderson. Supposedly went really well, according to Sandy. Don't want him. Mm-mm. If you look at the Christian Yelich trade and the Marcell Ozuna trade, no thank you. Mm-mm. I know he was forced maybe to do it. I don't think he was forced into the Yelich one because Yelich wasn't exactly breaking the bank. I think he signed like a $3 million deal. You know, it was 7 years, $21 million or something like that. And he wasn't breaking the bank. And you got back almost nothing for him. I don't want Michael Hill. No thank you. I want, maybe I could get Chernoff from the Indians. That would be a good get. I'm reading on Twitter about how Iannetti on the Indians, he's not going anywhere, it seems like. I really wanted him on the Mets as a president of baseball operations. I also read that Theo Epstein maybe now is in play. I don't think that Theo Epstein is going to want to work under Sandy Alderson. I think that I'm sorry, guys, that Theo Epstein is the man, and he wants to be the man, you know? He doesn't want to have to answer to anyone except the owner. He has the track record behind him to go ahead and say, listen, I won with the Red Sox and Cubs, poverty franchises before me. So I can't blame him if he doesn't want to come here. Maybe if you pay him enough, but I don't know. I know that the Phillies are going after Neander, also on the Indians. Indians may lose their whole entire front office. Eric Neander, go after the Mets. Hell, go for it, you know? But I don't want Michael Hill. I'm not a fan of David Stearns. I don't want David Stearns from the Brewers, even though he did an intern for the Mets, and he was supposedly the golden boy, yada, yada, yada. I'm not interested in him. I know that Chris Young, just the former starting pitcher for our New York Mets, name was out there. No idea how he's qualified. No idea why his name is out there. I know that his name was out there. Find that extremely weird. Don't know what Sandy wants. Although I did say in podcast how he does want a guy who has player experience. So maybe that's what Chris Young has, player experience. But what has he ever done to show me that he's a capable GM of the highest market league, the highest market city in the league? It's a big market, New York, and you're gonna hand it over to a former starting pitcher with no front office experience? No, thank you. No, thank you at all. So that's my take on the Mets GM candidates. I know there's Billy Owens and Bobby Heck and all these guys. Yeah, they're very good. Billy Owens, we know, has a very good connection with Sandy Alderson back in his days with the Oakland Athletics. The A's are always in it. So I wouldn't mind fishing from their sea. Oh man, taking Billy Owens. Billy Owens knows how to draft. Billy Owens developed players like Matt Chapman, Matt Olson, Jesus Luzardo, Sean Murphy, Romano Laureano, I think his name is. Hella good center fielder. These are always in it, and they never spend any money. So, yeah, I'm going after Billy Owens, and the same thing is said with the Rays. Just look at the Rays. They have the best farm system in baseball and made the World Series this year and stole Randy Arozarena, who looks like a future star from the Cardinals. So they're all good options. My no list is Michael Hill. Michael Hill, I think his name is. I'm blanking. I just said it 5 minutes ago. Michael Hill, Chris Young, and David Stearns. But at the end of the day, even if they do get Michael Hill, no, I'm not going to be happy about it. But I trust Sandy Alderson and Steve Cohen. For the first time, I can confidently say that I believe in our front office and I believe in our owner, that they're going to go ahead and make the right choice for not only the Mets, but for the fans. And I'm excited. I can't wait to find out who they sign, because I think once we finally get a front office, you're going to see deals going down like that. Maybe a Lindor trade, Bauer, James McCann. Who knows, you know? I feel like the offseason is really going to get a start on, because I think the Mets are going to start putting pressure on free agents. Be like, you know what? If I'm going to give Bauer, let's say, a five-year, $150 million deal, like, hey, you know, I'm giving you 2 days to go ahead and decide. You could go and shop it around, yada, yada, yada. But at the end of the day, the offer expires in 2 days. And I think the offseason is really going to begin then. And I'm very excited for it. And Mets fans, this is going to be the craziest offseason that we have ever experienced. Ever. This is so exciting. We are in on every free agent, and we could see that for the first time. For the first time, nobody is off the table. All right, Mets fans, thank you so much for listening. Y'all can follow me on Twitter, at Louder Mets. Thank you so much for listening. If you could subscribe and follow to this podcast, man, you guys are the best. All right, have a good night.